Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. We ask you, Lord, that now as we go to your word, that your word may just minister to our hearts, and the Lord, we may be able to, Lord, take more of what you have done for us, that we may be able to hear it, Lord, may be able to see it, may be able to receive it in our heart, Lord, and put it to work in our life. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for making this possible for us, because we cannot do it in our own strength. But in you, Lord, those who believe can do anything. And we believe, Lord, that you are bringing us to a place in which, Lord, that this becomes more possible than ever before because of the time we are in. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, if it's very quick, okay.
You know, when you say the Holy Spirit's timing, I served dinner to kids or whatever, and I never really go in the dining room, but they were all sitting there, and then I saw two of them grab hands, and you know when the Holy Spirit did this, I said, okay, it's time to say grace. They all looked at me. They didn't say no, so I just went for it. I said, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this meal. Thank you for the one meal. And they were all like, okay. So, you know, it's just timing. I just
want to
give him glory for that.
Amen. When his time works better than all our times. Amen. All right. Now is the time to go to the Word. Now, I'm going to, you know, you may say that I'm just, going often on this topic. But there is a reason for that. You know, because we need to be able to receive from God. Because if we don't receive from God, you know, the whole thing remains sterile. And there is not going to be any change in us, and so our faith goes down the drain. We need to be able to see the supernatural power of God in operation in our life. And, you know, to be able to do that, there are some things that need to be taking place, really. And really what we are talking about is receiving God's promises, receiving what the Word says, seeing God at work, perceiving the way it works, okay? And be able to be part of that so that we actually are not just seeing it in others, but we actually are experiencing it ourselves. And this is so important, and we have a big part in that because God cannot do more than what he has done already because he had done everything that he could do. So now the time is for us to do our part. It's not a question of being religious. You know, Jesus didn't come to create a new religion. And we're going to see more of that. And this is why sometimes we don't get things. Because we get religious because it's the natural way to be. God, you know, sent Jesus so that we can have a relationship with him. Not a religious formulation of things that we had to go through and put up with. We had to understand that and understand what that means. See, when we don't get things is that we are missing it in the approach we take in coming in contact with him. Okay. Now, you know, this is a really controversial topic. Okay. So if you could talk about receiving healing, being successful, okay, knowing the will of God, everybody talks about it, but they know there are 100 different approaches and theories that don't work. Because there is only one way that is going to work, his way. See, God doesn't change according to what we want him to be like. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And he works always the same way. He worked the same way in the Old Testament as works today in the Old New Testament. Okay. So, you know, and if we are stuck, okay, we had to make some changes. Okay. God's desire is for us to have an abundant life. This is what Jesus said very clearly, and in that scripture, John 10:10, summarizes everything that the whole Bible is all about. Okay? And if we don't experience that abundant life, it's not God's fault. Okay? And it's not necessarily that we are terrible. It's just that we got the religious sometime. I mean, we can be terrible too, but that's another stuff. That's another story. But this is not necessarily that. Sometimes, you know, the people that do everything that they can to do the right things, they just don't get it. Okay? And so, you know, the point is they're doing too much of what they shouldn't be doing, and they do too little of what they have to do to get anywhere. So we have to understand that, okay? And mostly the problem, and when I'm talking about really the side that I'm talking about, you know, that we have developed ideas that are based on our circumstances instead of being based on the Word of God, because that's what we are used to think. That's what we are used to reason about. Okay, and there are hundreds of you know, different theological doctrines that have been developed that are actually nothing, don't do match at all with the Bible, and they are what is called circumstantial theology. Theology that we make up ourselves because we have certain experiences that we have to justify. And so we try to fit the Word to our experiences instead of fitting our experiences to the Word. And so we get stuck there, and we cannot progress. We cannot experience what God wants us to experience. Okay? I can see that happening to each one of us, because this is the problem that we have. You know, we are used, we are raised up, we in an educational system, in a cultural system, in environment, in physical environment in which we are used to operate. And to come to God, you have to forget about to operate in the physical, because the physical is not what connects you with God. The physical only, what mostly is going to do, is going to hinder you from actually getting in contact with God. Because God is not physical in the sense of the physical world. He is a spiritual dimension. And so the only way to reach Him is in the spiritual dimension through your spirit. Okay? And there is where we had to understand that we had to start moving out of our physical training, which is called the flesh in the scripture. That is not necessarily all the bad things that the flesh wants to do, but it's just the way we operate, the way we think, the way we organize ourselves, the way we perceive things. Okay? And we tend all the time to choose to believe what our senses tell us and what our logic tells us instead of believing what the Word of God says to us. And when there are differences between the two, we choose our sensual perceptions and reasoning instead of accepting the Word of God and says, you know, Lord, I can't understand it. I can't figure it out, but that's what you say. I'm going to believe it. Okay? And we have to understand, you know, how to operate that way. Okay? And this is why in, you know, there are some scripture that you have heard to announce Him, you know, just over and over again, you know, but actually what to do with them is a completely different story. And often we don't really get it because it's not in our use to the way we operate. Okay. One of them is Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'm going to bring it up again because, you know, unless we grasp how to actually implement that scripture, we are not going to get anywhere. And really, I hope, you know, the problem is 1 hour, an hour, and while never is enough to cover a topic enough, you know, that you cannot explain spiritual things quickly. The way you do it quickly is the way Jesus did it. Okay? He used short metaphor. But go and apply them if you can. The most difficult teaching in the Bible is Jesus' teaching. No matter what anybody says, go and apply properly the beatitude Liliana is teaching them for the kids. I mean, there is no way that somebody that is not spiritually mature can even get close to understanding the beatitude. So everybody can get something, but what you get is going to be different from the where you are at. Now, I'm not going to get into that because, I had to stay on the topic here. So this says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I explained it so many times, so I'm going to skip on some part and concentrate on some other one that I really think are important, the things I'm going to stress today. Okay. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So it says, present your body. You are your body. How can you present your body? Who is the you that has to do the presentation? That means offering it. Evidently, it's not your body. You cannot do it. You see, it's not your body that is going to do that. There has to be something else operating in you that is going to bring, that it makes this sacrifice to God. That gives up to this body and says, God, I give this to you. I don't care. This is not important. That's not the way I work. I'm not my body. You are not your body. And the you that is really there has to say, I give it to you. And what is really meaning with your body? See, again, all the spiritual things are always expressed with metaphors. And some people don't understand that, and they get stuck into literal interpretation of scripture when they miss completely the boat. Yeah, when it talks about the body, it takes more even than just the physical body. It's talking about all the flesh involved with it. I mean, most of your soul is included in that. I have to repeat that. Most of your soul is included to your body that you had to offer to God. That means your emotions, your will, your thinking, your everything like that. Because if you don't do that, if you don't give those things to Him, you are never going to get any farther. See, He has to clean up your thinking, from the ideas that are really not His ideas, and put in there the truth that is going to guide you and that is going to empower you and is going to change the way. You see, something has to change. I often say, that the transformation and the renewal of the mind, is a miracle. It is a miracle. It's a supernatural event. It's not an adjustment. It's not a behavioral modification. It's not conditioning about certain things. If you try to do that, you're working like crazy and getting nowhere, and you fall back into the same thing because there is no power. When the power of God is coming in and you are changed, you are not anymore the same. That's what the Bible says. Now, okay, the point is, you see, because we are so used to operating in our thinking, our mind, our emotions, our will, and so on, and even our heart, according to the way we have been trained, we end up choosing there is something that doesn't quite match with all those things there that I mentioned, we start believing something that is not what God says. And so we take the word of God and we adjust it to fit to what all our things are going on, okay, inside ourselves, and we come out with this, what is called, circumstantial theology, a theology based on our circumstances or our experiences. We had to throw those things away if we want to progress. If we want to start experiencing the power of God working supernaturally in our life. Only the people that have been able to do that are going to be able to really grow. And that's the difference between Moses and the children of Israel. Moses, when he got something that wasn't fitting to what was making sense and logical, so a bush that never was burning, it was never always burning, didn't make any sense, and it took his attention, you know, didn't try to make it fit and make it a theology that makes it fit. He said, you know, let's go and see what that is. So he opened up to figure out. He wasn't putting a solution through his mind and through his experience to what he was seeing or what he was receiving. He was opening for God to, for what was going on, whatever was going on to there for him to pick it up. Are you following me? See, the same thing we had to do in a way. And the difference is that he knew after that, he learned the step that he took when he went to the burning bush and God started talking with him and the way everybody else were doing. See, the children of Israel, Psalm 103 says very clearly, they know the acts of God. They saw God doing miracles, okay? And some of them believed, probably some of them didn't believe and didn't make much difference anyway, because when was the time when they had a need, were there, you know, God, can you do that again? And we're going to see the scripture reinforcing and explaining that. But Moses knew God's ways. When you start knowing God's ways, you are not anymore influenced by the ways that the world works. And you start to think out of the box. And when you start thinking out of the box, you get out of the box results. And you start seeing things that are not anymore physical the way we are used to do. You know, if you stay in the physical mentality, in the physical training, in you get back into religion all the time. And this is what happens with most the way denomination starts. Somebody has an encounter with God, suddenly the Holy Spirit moves, ministers to lots of people, and then they end up dying back again because it becomes a formula, a religion, and is not an experience anymore. And so you expect for the next one and the next one. But there is not to be an, you know, the time is, there are going to be no next ones because Jesus is coming. That's the next one that we have to get ready for. If you miss it now, you missed it. So that's the thing that has to happen. Okay? Let me continue here. Present your body acceptable to God and reasonable service. You know, the word service there, you know, is actually, could be translated in many different ways, but it's actually, you can, you know, reasonable worship. That's the way you worship God. Okay? And we have to talk about that because there is a lot of, you know, even, you know, there is a lot of ideas that do not understand how we connect with God, even worshiping. This is what Jesus was teaching the woman. You know, it's funny, Lilian talked about all the things I wanted to talk about today. She didn't know what I was going to talk about. Okay, to the woman at the well, you know, in Samaria. Okay, we're going to go that if the Lord's willing, we get the time to do it. So anyway, so really the idea is that, you know, our soul, ourself, intellect, thought, emotions, feeling, will, belief, values, heart, you know, must all align up with God for us to be able to connect with Him. Okay? It says, you know, be not conformed with the world. That means, you know, don't let the way of the Lord be showing you what to do and operate according to them. You have to learn to operate in a different way. You know, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. So that's why people have always problem about knowing what the will of God is. Because they haven't proved anything, because they haven't done that step there. You cannot, just by doing something in the mental, you know, even Bible study, I don't care, you know, even, you know, you cannot find the will of God. Because the will of God, you have to offer your body a living sacrifice. And when you have done the sacrifice and the worship, act of worship, then automatically you're going to prove it. I mean, you're going to actually experience it. You have to know, because you know that you know that you know, because the contact took place and you are not anymore. You are transformed. Transformed. Metamorphosis is not just a change of, you know, improving a little bit. It's a question that there is, you know, a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. Okay, there is a complete new being there. That's what the word says. Okay? And this is what has to happen. So, but the point is, you know, that scripture doesn't help us. Doesn't help most of the people. Because it says, you know, the renewing of the mind. The mind there is news. It actually has nothing, just the mind. It's everything that I said before. Your intellect, your thinking, your will, your emotions, your feelings, your everything that you get, including your heart. And that's where the problem is. Because sometimes we can get, you know, with the Bible study, we can get all the part aligned, but not necessarily the heart. Because the changing the heart, you need a miracles work, because the heart doesn't work that way. So we had to learn to function in our operation in a new way, so that the heart gets aligned with all the other parts in accepting what God says, and don't change, and they don't make us manipulate the word of God so that it fits to the things that, you know, our heart feels, because this is the controller. Let me explain the heart a moment, because I really don't think, you know, I teach a lot about the heart, but I'm going to have to teach much more. You know, the heart, I said many times, you know, in the word in Hebrew is has to do with the gate. You know, and that's a good idea. That's a good, you know, reflecting, but I don't really think represent the whole thing. There are two parts in the gate that are never mentioned. You see, the gate is like the port of entry between two countries or two dimensions. But at the port of entry, you don't have just the gate. You have a border officer there. All right? And the difference is not that there is a gate there, is the officer there that is the one that produces the problem. If you had that to get through, because he's going to say, well, wait a minute, where did you get this stuff? You know, and he, the only way he works, the officers, he has a list of things that can go in and out on both directions. And if we are not, those lists doesn't match what he thinks, you know, you are stuck there. I mean, you keep the things the way they are. That's exactly what the heart does. See, the heart has a mind on its own. I hope that this analogy, you know, helps you to understand the way it works. Okay, the heart makes the decision of what you accept and what you don't accept. What and what you accept and you don't accept. If the list that your officer has that is different from God's list of values and things like that, then what's going through is not what God wants you to get through. Are you getting me? I was asking me how I'm going to explain this, and that's the image that the Lord gave me. And I hope that this is going to simplify for everybody what I've been trying to say for a long time. Okay? See, we have to line up with that. But when the heart is transformed, you know, no, sorry, when the right things passes through, when the power of God can work through, because we accept what the Word of God says, the Word of God is actually the list of things that, you know, we had to filter through the door, through this officer. Okay, when we allow these things to pass through the way it is, the way it's meant, the way God meant it, then something supernatural happened. With the word comes the power that is associated with God's thought. And that's the enough power to create the new change in your heart. It's not effort. In that moment in which you let it in, the miracles take place. Jesus said it in Revelation chapter 3. I knock at the door. You know, the same thing. The Bible doesn't say things is just one place. It says it all over the place. I knock at the door, you know, and if you let me in, we are going to come in and we are going to sup and we're going to have fellowship together. That's the fellowship, is unity. You know, the word, and that's another word that I'm going to hopefully, we'll see, you know, I'm going to expand on today. I mean, the word worship, fellowship, communion, unity is just the same thing. You cannot pray. You cannot have fellowship. You can have, communion until your heart is lined up with God's heart. When and to the degree that your heart is lined up with Him, then that communion, that fellowship, that thing is going to be taking place, and all the implications and the results are going to happen because there is no blockage anymore for the power of God to manifest in the physical. Are you following what I'm saying? Now that's so important. Is that clear? Okay, good. So, you know, when our heart, bothersome officer there, okay, is there cherry picking our scriptures to make sure that the one that support what already are in the list, passing through, the other ones don't pass through or are modified to make it going that way. Okay. And that's the problem. That's why people do what the children of Israel did. And Moses did not do. Because he wasn't, his officer, in his heart was not blocking God from telling him what to do. You know, he was tempted too. And we are all tempted. The enemy is not just giving up and not trying to do anything. He's going to try everything he can to mess up our thinking, because if he mess the way he did it with Adam and Eve, because if he mess up our thinking, then we lose. And he knows that. And we don't get the abundant life. Okay. But this is, this is where it worked also with the children of Israel. Nothing else and different what happens today. In Psalm 78, the whole psalm is about this. I mean, they saw miracles happening all over the place, big miracles, the plague coming on Egypt, the pillar of fire, the cloud on the day, I mean, the army of the, passing through the Red Sea, all these things, and everything that was doing, the manna. I mean, you can make a list. How much do you need to really start believing God instead of thinking your own way? Well, what this says here is instead, verse 40, now often they provoked him, God, in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. You know, grieving the Holy Spirit, how do you do? I don't believe it. Okay, that's the way you do it. Yes, again and again, they tempted God. Actually, the word tempted, really want us to expand the meaning of that word. One judged God. I really think that's the thing, it shows it very clearly. Judged God and limited the Holy One of Israel. You see, that our unbelief, is able to stop God operating. The officers there doesn't let the power of God go through our heart, and then we wonder why. We don't get the results that the word says we should be getting. Are you still with me? Okay. It says, continuing there, they limited the Holy One of Israel and did not remember his power. See, something what we should do ourselves sometimes is remember what he did before for you. Remember what is written in the word. Remember and believe it, and that thing happened to you. And you say, I don't know if it happened to me. That's exactly the problem. If happened to them, can happen to you. You are not any different than them. And so anything that comes there and put unbelief in your heart, you just had to shoot it down. Okay? Now, this is really, you know, the power. The day when they redeem them from the enemy. So you see, you have been redeemed from the enemy if you are born again and you're here today. That's a big step. If you just go back there and you remember it, that's why it's good to give testimony of the way you came there, the way God worked in your heart, how the way you end up changing your some of the values there so that you open up to the degree that you did at that time with the Word. To the Word, to the truth. And you start seeing things differently. Okay. That's more, but then you forget, we forget. This is why it's good to have put down our testimony of the way we came to the Lord and keep our testimony of everything that He does with us to bring us a reminder so that we can go and read it again and reinforce those things and appreciate and live in them. Because this is God's power manifested in our life, that He guided us from before we even knew Him. You see, He loves us before we know Him. He loves everybody. We sometimes have a real problem about doing that, but He has no problem because he created us in the first place. And He knows what a mess we are, so the only way to fix us up is to love us. Okay? So it doesn't matter where we come, His power is enough to fix everything. All things are possible with God, even fixing us. Are you with me? Okay, so this is why, you know, the bottom line in the Old Testament, the only thing that, you know, there are some scripture, I mean, always repeat, keep saying, you know, remember your experience. Remember, you know, the testimony of God. Okay, that's even the Bible evidence, you know, you can remember that. You can go to those scripture, read, see, and, you know, understand that this is the way it works today for you as well. It's nothing has changed. You know, I mean, the New Old Testament, there are thousands of years condensed. Oh, God didn't move very far or very much, you know, over a lifetime. Now, there's much more than happened ever in all Bible, all the time of history. Because there are many people that are connected with God one way or another. And there are more people around for Him to reach out to. Okay, that's another story. And so what the thing Bible says, you know, the bottom line is Proverbs 3:5 and 2:10. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You see, your own understanding is nothing else than the officer there at the heart that is blocking things around. No matter how much understanding you have, there are things you don't understand, you don't know. And the more you are proud of your understanding, the more you are going to be stuck where you are. You have to be open all the time to be fixed. No matter how much progress you made in your spiritual walk. Because you are not like Jesus yet, and there is lots of fixing that need to be done. And you have to be open for Him to tell you, you know, you are blocking me in this area, you are limiting me. You are questioning me. You are putting me to test here. I believe that this is really where, you know, when you read the Word and you, you know, read it and says, yes, but, then you have a problem. Right there. Yes, but I don't experience that. Okay, well, ask and it shall be given. Knock, it shall be open. See, you need to open up. Don't say, well, I'm pretty good. Well, the pretty good is getting you nowhere. It's keeping you stuck. Okay? Instead of saying, you know, that doesn't mean you have to go around and say, I'm a sinner, you know, whatever. That's, you know, it's not a question of being a sinner. It's that you just are... We are full of unbelief. Because if we be full of belief, we'll get much more things happening in our life. No matter who we are, no matter how much anointing people have, doesn't matter. They are still full of unbelief because lots of time they make up things because God cannot do them through them. Now we'll continue here. Okay, so says, you know, you well acknowledge him and I will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Let them fear the Lord and depart from evil. I mean, that's simple enough. But the thing is, even that sometimes doesn't happen because we get frustrated. Because we are trying to get things that they don't happen. Okay. Okay. So direct your path, you know. Be wise in, do not be wise in your own eyes, depart from evil. Okay? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bone. That's pretty good. That seems to me that's healing. Okay? And the Lord, honor the Lord with your possession, and you even have a blessing from a financial area or the success way in the world. Now, the key things in all this, New Testament, Old Testament, okay, the God faithfulness is the central theme of all the Bible, from the beginning to the end. His love and his promise and his implementation and what he went through to make sure that everything happened, he has been faithful all along, okay. There are so many scriptures that should justify God understanding and accepting God's faithfulness. This is one of the things that we should come along, and any time that we, you know, try to get something from God and we don't get it, we are questioning God's faithfulness. And we are not opening ourselves up for him to show the things that need to be taking place. Okay? That's the thing. I mean, number 23:19, you know, God is not the man that he should lie, nor the son of man that should repent. You know, as I said, and you should not do it, you know, I should spoke and make it good. So the idea is, you know, even in the Old Testament, you know, it's clear, you know, when God says something, is that the way it is. 1 Corinthians 1:9, you know, God is faithful. What does it mean God is faithful? He's faithful to by whom you were calling to fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Fellowship there is communion. Much better word because we just, you know, don't under, you know, just the, we, the fellowship means that there are two people connected together, helping one another. Okay. Continue there. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:18, just after there, God again, God is faithful. Can you say God is faithful? Okay, that's something that we had to get in mind. I mean, if he said something, he meant it. And if he meant it, he's going to do it. If you just go along with him, we're going to meet the conditions. For the word to you was not yes and no. You see, God is faithful, for the word to you was as yet. You see, that shows what he's faithful to. He's faithful to his word. If he said something, he cannot do anything else because he's not a liar. As I said before. Okay. Again, you know, later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, again, verse 20. So for all the promises of God are yes in him and amen in him through the glory of God through us. So the idea is again say yes. That's the way it is. Amen. That's it. Okay, so that if he said something, that is it, and we can expect it, and we should have it, but it's depending on not on God. If God promised, the thing is given already. One of the problems is that we think that God has to do something now. When instead God has done everything that has done, Jesus finished the work and said it is finished. So everything is finished. The finished work of Calvary is something that has to affect all our theology. If it doesn't affect all our theology, then we are still waiting for the Messiah. He's going to come back, but he doesn't come back for us. He comes back to clean up the house. We should be already in his side. We should be ready, receiving from him and growing in him and being, and the promise should be yes and amen, because we are in him now. And it, you know, and we are, but I'm not stopping there. There's much more. The thing is, you know, the following verse says very clearly, who establishes us in you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Now, it establishes us is not future, is not past, is present. He is establishing us. That means we are not completely established as a continuous present. He's continuously establishing us. He's reinforcing us. He's making more and more that way so that we can get more and more of the promises. Are you following what I'm saying? So, you know, we can have some waiting, and it's not a big deal. You know, it's just a question of breaking through the resistance. Okay? So he is establishing us in Christ, and has anointed us is God. Okay? Has anointed us. Has anointed is finished. But you see, anointed doesn't mean he has given power. The anointing is nothing else than an appointment to a function in his body. The priests were anointed. They didn't have the power. The power came only as they moved into the function that they had and operated by faith. The anointing is the calling to a certain function. The power is released through faith in what God has anointed us to do. There is confusion about that. They think, I'm anointed, I can do things. No, you have been appointed to do that, and who's appointed you is God, because he's the only one that can appoint you for that. But you have to develop yourself, your heart, as to be able to get to the point in which God's power can flow through it, because it's aligned with the word. Okay. The moment when you are born again, you are anointed. The Holy Spirit comes to you. How much you're going to do from that, depending on your faith. Okay? Now, so, in addition, we have seen us, has given us this, okay, I'm going to read also verse 22, 2 Corinthians 1:22, okay? That he has sealed us and given to us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Okay? The Spirit, the degree of the Spirit is in our heart. You see, that's is the Spirit in our heart, and the Spirit, so the, you know, the words again, you know, we're talking about spiritual things that are difficult to express properly. Okay. The heart is the part in between the Spirit, as I said, and the soul. Okay, so the Holy Spirit can, you know, has modified the things in our heart enough to be able to get down to the physical in us. Okay, operate. Okay. So, now, you know, is a guarantee. That means, you know, the fact that it's there, the fact that you are motivated, the fact that there is this change already taking place, the fact that, the power of God can work flow through you because you agree with what God said, okay? And that doesn't necessarily come just by the word. Sometimes, you know, God can speak to you directly and give you the direction, and you just believe him on the most moment, and boom, things happen. So even somebody that doesn't know anything about the Bible can get healed, when somebody that's been Christian for 50 years sometimes doesn't. Because they just, God speak to you and says, I want to heal you. And they believe him, and just, it happened. All right? So, the thing is, God give you a guarantee. That means, you know, assure you the fact that this, a guarantee is a down payment that this is really what it is or what is coming. So it's not the whole thing. You know, you just added the down payment or this little change that already take place, and the Holy Spirit's presence is there working inside you. So, you know, there is more to come. Okay, and as the more coming is, the more that comes is to come, okay, what happens? Well, there are going to be changes. They are going to be more open to the Holy Spirit, maybe more work in you. Okay, God is not, see, another doctrine of man. You know, God tests you so to promote you. Baloney. God doesn't test anybody. God actually limit the test that you are going to have. That's what the Bible says. That's garbage. Keeping people in bondage. Say, well, you know, if God is testing you, if God put it on you, the problem that you have, the sickness, the difficulties and so on, don't pray for it because God is know what he's doing. That's nonsense. God doesn't test anybody. God stop the enemy from testing you because he's trying to test you all the time. He's going to tempt you, is another word. God doesn't tempt anybody. The devil does. And he's trying to do it, but he can't do it because his hands are tied, because God said, yo, you get as far as that is, but no more. That's scriptural. God's plan for us are good plans. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I have with in it for you, that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So that's the way we should feel about what's going to happen in the future. Oh, you know, never know what's going to happen next. I have a future and hope. Do you have a future and a hope? Well, that's the thing. If we have a future and a hope, you are not there waiting for the calamity to fall in. You see, the enemy, is trying to show us, tell us stuff like that. Okay, the sinner should go around, you know, with this, you know, sword of Damocles on their head. You know, it's going to fall. No, we should be constant in a peace within ourselves because he is our protector. Amen. He is our shepherd. Okay? So, 3 John 2 says very clearly, beloved, I pray about things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. See, that the soul prospering is nothing else than what I was talking about before. What's called there the mind, or what's called there, you know, is the combination of all the things inside you, including your heart. When your heart is fixed, then you're going to prosper. Oh, you're talking about the prosperity message. Be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. God promised us abundant life. May goodness. Okay? And he does it very clearly many times, many different ways. You know, these people, because some people that have without faith, you know, that they can believe that somebody can be blessed by God financially, you know, they make a big story about the prosperity message. Everything can be distorted by the enemy, and so people fall into that because they're too immature to fall into that kind of stuff. But God wants you to be well in all the areas of your life. Not defeat. God is not defeated. Amen. He doesn't want people defeated. Okay. Your promises are good. Okay. He's established us. And he's promised good things. And now he promised us, and we can expect, we have a hope, an expectation for good things. That's what it is, hope. Not just, oh, I wish something good is going to happen. This is the hope of unbelievers. The hope of believers, it should be, I know something good is going to happen. Because he promised to me. Okay? Or to us, not just to me. Okay? All right. So, and this is, you know, for example, in 2 Peter, talk about, you know, that he has given us all things for life and godliness. I mean, more than that, he has given, this is past tense. So do we believe that he has given, or do we have to go there begging him for his to do something about it? It's finished, it's given. You know, the thing we have to do, we have to take what is ours. Okay, that means we have to agree with him and understand the way you do it. And how you do it, you know, pertaining for life and godliness. Life, you know, down here and, you know, and even after. To do the right thing, to please him and everything else. It's all covered. Okay, throughout, through the knowledge of him, okay, by who's called us by glory and virtue. So, you know, is knowledge, to the understanding. I mean, given all things, but if we don't understand, if we don't know, we have to know how to get there. Okay? And so we have to do. Okay? But these are the giving us exceedingly great promises, more than just a little bit. I mean, more than little things. Exceedingly great and precious promises that we may be partakers of the divine nature. I mean, partaker of the divine nature means, you know, there's going to be, this is just going to be a supernatural manifestation, supernatural activity, you know, taking place. You know, the divine is going to be intermingling with our own personal life and manifesting things that are supernatural through the promises. So the promises in the Word. So when we see that we don't get the promises, we get stuck, we have to do something to get unstuck, and we have to go to God and say, you know, what's stucking us? And he's going to probably show you, you know, so he's going, you know, the legalistic says, well, because you are disobedient. And this is not what God is going to stress. What God is going to say, because you think wrong in this area, and because of that, you do these things that damages you and block your relationship. You know, disobedience comes from unbelief. Unbelief is the problem from the very beginning. With Adam and Eve, they believe the devil, which is actually is believing something, but believing not something what God said. Same thing is presently. The legalistic are going to use the law to do them, but the law is just nothing else but to help people to see it even before God has to say anything. We shouldn't go by the law. We should go by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit should guide us. Praise the Lord. Okay. You know, that way, you know, the divine nature working in us, you know, make us escape for the corruption of the world. We don't, you know, that comes through the lust. We don't need to lust everything. We know we have everything. More than having everything. The thing is, if you start lusting, that means, you know, you cannot get it. And if you cannot get it, you are in the wrong place already. Because, you know, your mentality is, I either don't deserve it, or I don't understand it, or God doesn't want to give it to you. And all this stuff is all theological junk. All right. So, read Psalm 23. And meditate on it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I got everything. You know, he makes me lie down in green pasture. Hallelujah. And just to see yourself, you know, that type of meditation is a good meditation. Okay, you see, this is graphically the way God thinks about you. You know, just Psalm 23 is a great psalm to meditate on because this is God's will for you. So, well, you know, maybe he doesn't want that for me because I'm a sinner. Repent and be there. Okay? If you had to say you are a sinner, say what? Okay. The enemy is going to come and tell you that way. But you say, you know, okay, what do I have to repent about? Very simple. You can shut up very quickly. If you have a list of things, okay, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that anymore. Now the Lord is my shepherd. I'm focusing on that, not to what you are going to say. Are you with me? See, that's the way you start thinking. That's the way you change the way you think. You line up yourself with the Word of God. You don't go by the way the enemy is trying to make you think. You know, people think, I want to bring this up. You know, just because, say, for example, you are trying to receive blessing from God, healing, or whatever. And a thought comes that is the opposite of that. So, oh, you know, I had a negative thought. My faith is gone. Nonsense. Thoughts can come and go. You don't give importance to the thought. It's the thought that you agree with are the thought that are going to be an effect on you. The thought and the word that you say that agree with the belief in your heart, those are the things that are going to produce results. Are you meaning what I'm saying? I'd say it again because that's important. Lots of people don't understand that. Oh, you know, I had this thought come to me. Yeah, the devil is going to throw you lots of thoughts that he wants you to think so that, you know, to see if you are just, maybe, yes, and you start agreeing with him. No, you have to take a position. You have to know the position that you take in your heart. Okay, I prayed. God says, by your stripes I'm healed. I believe the word, and I'm not going to move because I receive it. I put myself in the position. I believe that Jesus healed me. And this is the devil's going to say, wow, look, you know, look at the symptoms. Look. Every thought, every time, don't go around quoting scripture and without believing what you're saying. Because it doesn't do any good. What you have to do is each time the negative thought that comes to you to accuse the word of God, you say no. You are a lie, and then you can quote the scripture. But if you don't take the position against that thing, then it's not going to work because it has to be working through your heart, not through your mind. See, your mind can think anything. The devil is really good about putting thought in your mind. That's the way it works. That's the way it worked with Eve. If Eve said, yes, but God said, you know, and you shut up, he would have gone, and we wouldn't be here today. We'd be much better place. Are you following me? See, that's the way you work. Don't because you just got the thought that is not what God says, you know, you are in trouble. He tries to put you in trouble. If you accept it with your heart, the very moment when you start dwelling in it and you start saying, yes, maybe, oh, yes, I doubt it, oh, well, nothing happening, oh, it's been such a long time. Well, each time a thought comes to your mind, speak and take a position that says, no, I'm strong here. And you don't make me change my mind, my position. Won't be around for too long because he gets fed up. Okay? So, see, Jesus said it very clearly. The thief, John 10:10, comes just, you know, except to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that you may have life and have it more abundant. So, that's your position. You are sure. You are assured. You are staying there. You are not moved. Okay? Don't let unbelief and ignorance keep you bound. Okay? Don't be moved. Okay? Don't let God move your boundaries. And I'm going to finish with the scripture because I have to put in this because I can't leave it there. I'm done. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is really the thing that they're going to seal your position. Okay. So it's not temptation. See, the devil comes to put a thought in your mind that is a temptation. Okay. Or testing. You know, not temptation has overcome you except what as it is common to many. But God is faithful. Again, God is faithful. Again, you see, anything that comes to your way is normal. Oh, yeah, just the old, that, you know, that what you know, wicked word. One night woke up and the devil was at the foot of his bed. You know, he saw around, saw the devil there. He said, oh, that's you? Turned around and went to sleep. Okay, that's it. That's the position we had to take. Okay? God said it, I believe it, and that's settled for me. And that's the way you have to take it. And you have to be in that position in your heart so that your heart is not moved. And then you speak against any of these things, bombardment that comes around. It could be from any area. I may continue, not temptation overtaken, except what is common to men. But God is faithful. We were God up to you. Who will not allow. Can you say, God will not allow? What? You to be tempted beyond what you are able. Do you get that? See, the idea is you can be assured God is faithful. You believe that God is faithful, then you have to believe also that God will not allow to be tempted more than you can able to. Okay. But it doesn't stop even there. Okay? It's not just stop the limit. Limit the way the operation of the enemy can go, as far as it can go. Okay? But with the temptation, we will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What more you want? Not only, is limiting the enemy, but he has already prepared the way out. So the only way you have to do is either go the way that you already know, or you say, okay, is there anything else that I had to know yet? Be open. You get it. That's all. All right. Don't be moved. That's the important thing. Don't be moved. And with this, for today we close. There is more. There is more. But the thing is, listen to these things 10 times until you think that way. Then you are not going to be moved because you know what to do. It becomes natural. You don't have there, okay, what the pastor said. Forget it. You don't have to think of what the pastor said. You have to know yourself because the scripture says what they say. Okay. So let's pray together. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, that you love us, that you care about us, and that you are faithful. You have done everything that needed to be done to minister to our needs. You are my shepherd, and I shall not want. You have prepared a way for me in the wilderness, but will guide me out. You empower me to overcome all the temptations that happen to everybody else too. To guide me to things to come. To freedom, to victory, to health, to prosperity, to all the things that I need. In Jesus' name, because he paid the price, and I received it, and I thank him, and I receive the love that you have for me, Lord, to be manifested in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm.